entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. What up with you? Pull the show down right out of the start.
No, you're the one that usually starts off with like getting something off your chest, an interaction you had at a local restaurant or a retail store.
I do have something.
So what do you got? Okay. This is your therapy time. The first 15 minutes is getting Randy Harris back to like calm to discuss MMA, sports, and entertainment.
First and foremost, I want to talk about last night. It is my favorite NFL day during the regular season.
Okay.
Obviously, Radio Row is my favorite NFL.
Is the NFL back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, what?
First game's tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, Cleveland, the Jets.
I haven't even heard about this.
It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame game.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about that. Nice. We're going to talk about last night. Like I said, it was alumni night, normally, you know, alumni day. I love that. Let me run down the schedule real quick. Coming up, the Diva from this season's Ultimate Fighter, Brad Katona. Looking forward to talking to him. Switches teams, goes back to where his home. All these morons, you know, that said he shouldn't. We're going to talk about them.
Okay.
Jason Knight for his weekly update. He fights, I believe, his episode, for those who are still confused, his taped episode is next week. So
is that live?
It'll be live after it was taped.
Perfect.
So Jason Knight next week. In a minute, we'll talk about next week's show. Hour number two, the return of Billy Quarantillo.
Yeah.
Coming on, fights Nashville.
Local Tampa boy.
Well, he's not. You know, he comes down here. He trains out of Gracie South. He's not from Tampa.
He lives here. His house is here.
I don't know if he lives here because he's always up in New York.
Or Fiola lives up in New York, comes down for fight
camp. Both do. They both do. Okay. Gavin Tucker fights this weekend.
Nice.
O'Day Osborne returns.
O'Day.
And, you know, I'm going to bring up a controversy or two with O'Day.
Okay.
You know, a couple things. So we're going to talk to him. We may have Ryan Westner stop by from Rhino Cards, talk a little bit about the trading card business, you know, the MMA cards that are blowing up, when to buy, when to sell. You know, do you want to buy before a fight? Does it really fall, you know, after a loss? What's the Derek Lewis rookie card going for?
Before he had abs?
Before he did the worm.
Did Derek Lewis have abs in Salt Lake City?
Well, he said
he did.
Did you
see him?
The best part of that, and we'll plenty of things to talk about, but when he took his shorts off, and Rogan goes, "Why'd you take your shorts off?" And Derek Lewis goes, "You know, because last time you said his balls were hot." And then I saw a Facebook post from my good friend, Marcus Davis.
Oh, big baby.
The Irish hand grenade.
Oh, the other
Marcus Davis. Jones was the big baby.
Yeah, same thing.
Just because it starts with an M doesn't mean they're the same person. He has a book coming out.
Okay.
Concerns me.
Are you in it?
Well, I'm sure I'm not, but that is a question.
Okay.
That is a question, a valid question.
Sure.
And 95% of his stories are X-rated.
Oh, really?
So what is in the book that could be sold at a regular bookstore
or online?
Are
books still relevant?
I don't know.
I mean, is it an audio book? Like, is something that can be...
No, I think it's an online, but it did say hard copy. So I told him I want one for the bookcase, not to read, just for the bookcase.
Yeah, of course. Why would you want a book to read?
Exactly. Just like a movie. Just like a movie. So, you know, and once I tell the story, this movie is not eligible for the name 10 and if I've seen 7.
We got to figure out what books you've read in your lifetime?
Well, you couldn't figure out what books I've read. Trust me on that one. So I watched my first movie, as far as I can remember, probably within the last 5 years.
Okay.
I think it's called A Man Named Otto. Have you seen the movie?
Not seen the movie.
If anybody listening has seen the movie, I don't want to give much away, but every person that I have spoken to, friends, non-friends, people who know me, know of me, etc., when I have told them they need to watch it, they're like, no, I don't want to watch it. I said, trust me. Trust me.
It's that good?
I'm going to put it this way. Watch the movie, and then if you, I want to know. I don't want to give anything away. Tell me you'll watch the movie by our next broadcast. You have over a week to do it.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
And I think you will laugh. You will laugh. And you will say, holy laugh.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Do.
A Man Named Otto.
A Man Named Otto.
I think that's what it's called. It's Tom Hanks. Like my wife won't watch it because it's sad.
Oh, I saw it on the plane going to Brazil, but I didn't watch it. I mean,
right, it's on the plane. That's why I watched it on the plane.
I saw it a couple clips, but I didn't stay engaged.
Watch the movie.
Okay.
Okay.
I ended up watching Ford versus Ferrari.
It's very possible, and I don't want to give too much away. It's very possible that you're going to say, I didn't like it, but I know why you wanted me to watch it.
Okay.
You will definitely say, I know why you want me to watch it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the schedule. I was out with the Bucks last night. Their first game, their first preseason game, I believe, is next Friday.
Okay.
A lot of competition going on. We'll get this out of the way real quick. Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. I still say Baker's going to win the job. Trask a little taller. Baker did throw some interceptions, but he was pinpoint on a lot. Some of the receivers need to learn how to catch.
Mm.
It was a good day.
Okay.
A bunch of alumni. Mark Royals was out there.
Michael Clayton
was there. As I told you, I talked to him. Ian Beckles was out there.
Nice.
Trying to remember some of the other names, but it was a good time.
Are you excited about the season? What do you think we'll do? 4-12?
I got to look at the record. Is that better for me to say?
Well, look at their schedule.
Well, again, you can't tell anything. They're in shorts. They're not hitting. They're not doing anything. So how can you really tell anything? Maurice Stovall, yeah, thank you, you know, was out there. So I'm talking to a friend, a family, my brother's nephew, okay? So it's more than a friend. And I said about yesterday, and I said some names, and I said Maurice Stovall. And he goes, the wide receiver? I'm thinking, how? From Notre Dame? Holy crap. He goes, yeah, I'm a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
There you go. Good stuff.
Nice.
Good stuff. We went to Comic-Con.
We did go to Comic-Con.
You know, we've had we had a couple of the guests on.
Have you been to Comic-Con before? Have you been to other Comic-Cons? This is your first time?
You may get fired today. You don't really listen to anything we do, do you?
Just make a small talk.
Have I been to a Comic-Con?
Yes.
What Comic-Con?
I don't know. You tell me.
Didn't Steve and I go to a Comic-Con not too long ago where we hooked up with Henry Winkler?
Well, I was trying to make a segue.
No, you wouldn't. You
could talk about another Comic-Con.
No, you wouldn't. You don't remember.
No, it was in Orlando.
The one in Orlando was better than the one in Tampa.
Usually they are.
Why? Because it's on International Drive?
Well, more international people. Like, there's more of an international audience. I think Orlando has a bigger convention center. They do bigger production. They have more entertainment value.
I don't know about any time. I mean, but no, we went to the other one. We went up to go see my buddy Billy Zabka, the Karate Kid guys, where they're the Cobra Kai staff or crew. And then we ran into Henry Winkler and how in awe I was of how nice the guy was.
Yeah.
So then we've had some of the guests for this one and really in awe. And I don't want this to be disrespectful at all. I'm not sure anybody there, ironically, except for the one who had the shortest line in Bob Eubanks,
yeah,
has the credentials that Henry Winkler has. You know, Henry Winkler is an A star.
Yeah, for sure.
There were some great people there. You know, I'm not saying that. Then we got to walk around. We talked to, I almost felt like a stalker with your boy, the Silver Bullet guy. Richard
Karn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were hanging out there for 45 minutes.
Yeah. And then I went back.
Oh, I know.
Brought him food, cooked for the whole crew.
Yeah, I saw.
That was cool.
All right. So we're going to talk about all this. We have a lot to get to. I don't want to run over because our first guest is in Ireland, which is, what, 5 or 6 hours ahead of us.
Okay.
And it's probably going to be bedtime for him soon as he gets ready to prepare, as he is in the finale. So last night's taped winner of The Ultimate Fighter Season 31, Brad Katona, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
It's Joel Romero here in the Knockout Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny Castilla from the Washington Nationals. You are talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hi, for Tournament de Pizza, Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. Moving around segments and such, this is the weekly Ultimate Fighter segment. Coming up momentarily in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes is our weekly update from Jason Knight.
Yeah.
This segment, I'm going to say not a single human being on planet Earth did not expect this segment. We all expected this. I know nothing. I only know what I watch on Tuesday night. This week's taped, for those people that thought it was live,
right,
taped segment from last night's Ultimate Fighter victory last night, now in the finale, like I said, everybody
expected
this. Brad Katona. Brad, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Was that a big buildup?
I think so. You're saying that everyone expected this? I think there was some high-level competition this season, so maybe not everybody expected it, but I expected this, and I'm very grateful to be in this position, and it's been quite the journey.
talk about last night's episode. Talk about the fight. Former, I'm going to call them training partners, you know, because I've always said since Ultimate Fighter 1, it's really not teammates. You come together for a couple weeks. What was it like to build up? Now you're going, even though, and we're going to talk about the switch. Talk about the build up. Talk about getting ready for the fight that we watched last night.
You know, so it was some evening, you know, we were out of the house, we come back in, and all of a sudden it was the semifinals announced, and you see it's like, okay, I'm fighting Timur Valiyev, who I think, at least in my opinion, there's a lot of good fighters in there, but I'd rank myself as number one and him as number two, and I was like, okay, this is kind of like the same time, the same thing when I did Tough 27, I fought two killers in the house in Kyler Phillips and Bryce Mitchell, who are both in the UFC currently. I think Bryce is top 10 in featherweight, but it was okay. I got Carlos Vera this time, in my opinion, potentially the best prospect, and now I got Timur Valiyev, who in my opinion is the number two guy in the house, and so I was like, okay, this is going to be a very, very tough fight, but this is the finale. If I win this, I have a very good shot at winning the finale as well. And at that point, I'm also fighting a teammate, which means I can go on over to Team McGregor. I was saving that card to kind of pull just in case I was fighting Rico or someone on Team McGregor. But sure enough, it's fighting a Team Chandler guy. So I get to be reunited with my coach, my team, Connor, Tristan Kennedy, the nutritionist. Basically, Connor had set up a full professional team, massage therapist, chef, dietitian, great coaching, you know. So going over there, did I fit in.
Well, you know, you were going home. And, you know, I want to say this to you publicly because I've been saying this leading up to and whatever. And I've honestly, I have kind of changed my life as old as I am. And I should have done this years ago after watching. And we talked about it when you were on the first time. You know, when you said you're loyal to Brad Katona. And so many people are not, you know, they don't think that way. And in the last couple of weeks, you know, ask Matt at the finale when we're there, we'll talk. I'm going to start doing that with this radio show, with people that come on. You know, you've got to take care of yourself first. And for any fan, any knucklehead, any moron that has a problem with what you did, you went to your team. I mean, it would have blown my mind if you didn't. Now, I agree with Jason Knight as well that he didn't want to do it. He wasn't going to do it. He was willing to leave. I get all that. But I also get you went home. You went to your team.
Yes, exactly. What is loyalty at that point? Is it going to the coach I've been with for 6 years, or is it staying with the coach I've been with for 3 weeks? What is loyal in that spot? To me, it's going on over to my home team, the one that I'll be going home to, the guys who have been behind me through the good times, me winning the Ultimate Fighter the first time, and then me losing that UFC contract and going over to Bahrain, Kazakhstan for a fraction of the money I was making in the UFC. You know, to me, that's loyalty. These guys had my back when I was nobody, when I was somebody, and then when I was back to being nobody. Not saying that I'm anybody right now, but I'm in a position to, you know, fight in the UFC again, make history by winning this thing twice. And for me, it was just being loyal to the people around me, the people who have been behind me all along. And going into this show, I knew at any point I could be fighting a teammate, a team member. And listen, we're not going to be hanging out after the show. At least I doubt many of the fighters are going to be hanging out with each other after the filming. You're kind of squished together for 3-4 weeks. And then after that, you know, you go your separate ways. So in order for me to look after the people nearest and dearest to me, well, I had to put myself first in this position. And you know what? I have no regrets. And I'm very proud of what I was able to do this season.
And I agree with you 100%. And you know, I would have expected nothing less. You know, like I said, it was kind of cool. And, you know, I was thinking personally, like, how weird would it have been for any of the others to change colors and the team name on the back. It just makes sense, you know, for you. But let me ask you this. You said that Timar was, in your opinion, number two. You're now back home. You're now back training for whenever the finale is. I don't even know when it is. How do you stay and motivate? It's not the right word because obviously you're motivated. You've now beat who you believe is your closest competition. You have that golden carrot at the end. You have one more fight to do a lot of things, not only get back to the UFC, but make history in winning it again. How do you wrap up, you know, step up, you know, everything to make sure that happens?
You know, that's very easy. I just anchor in to the top where I want to be the bantamweight champion of the world. That's where I am living every single day. And I say that with being as genuine as I can. That is the level. It's a grandiose statement. It is absolutely ridiculous saying I want to be the best fighter in the world at my weight class, better than anybody else at this weight. That is a ridiculous statement, but it's also very realistic, and that's where I'm anchoring in. So it's not that I'm looking past the finale, not at all. What's going to allow me to bring the best version of myself for this finale and perform and get that win is me anchoring in where I want to be in the future. You know, there's something about having, you know, a plan. Like, without a plan, how are you supposed to make progress? Well, I want to be at that number one spot. So what do I need to do now to put that in place? And it's certainly not taking my opponent lightly. It's certainly not kicking the feet up saying, I got this. You know, this guy's not as good as Timber. Every fight is different, but I have to anchor in the reality, which is where I want to be in 5 years. And I'm on that path now, and I've been working away, and I'm very excited to show it off, just like I was excited to show off what I can do in the house. And I think that Timber Valley fight is a perfect example of that. But since then, I've only gotten better. I think I took 2 weeks off at home to recoup after the Ultimate Fighter. And since then, I got a plan together with my team to be the best version of myself that I can be. And I'm excited to show that off.
We are talking to Brad Katona in the finale of season 31, Tough, the Ultimate Fighter. It's in a weird way, because how tough that fight was, that you can take from that and grow from that, that it wasn't a cakewalk, that it was a very competitive fight.
I can absolutely anchor in that. You know, I guess the old adage is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But what's nice is when you just about reach a breaking point, but it doesn't quite break you, you only get stronger from that, you know? And that's, I think, when those fights were, it pushed me to dig deep. It hurt, man. You know, we were both throwing heavy shots. There was a head collision. I think I needed about 8 to 10 staples on the side of my head afterwards. And, you know, that was a hard-fought battle. And I'm very proud that I got the result that I did and put on the performance that I did. But in the future, I've always known I've had that toughness and grittiness, and I don't want to show too much, but that card is in the back pocket just in case. When push comes to shove, we can play that card.
You can play it. If you go on and win, when you go on and win this season's Ultimate Fighter, you're back in the UFC. I mean, if you'll even answer this, or if you even know the answer, what do you need to do? What needs to be done different to stay in the UFC?
In all honesty, I don't think I would change much that I haven't changed already. And I think I was on a very, very good path to make that happen in the UFC. You know, it's not like I was in the UFC and I got a couple wins. I was like, okay, now I can kick the feet up. Absolutely not. Each time I was trying to improve and refine our methods and talk with John and have him coach me hard. And now we brought on other coaches to develop the rest of my game. But I feel like we were on such a good path. It just got cut short. It was premature. I fought Merab Dvalishvili, who's now the number one fighter, or number one contender, you would say. But he won't fight his teammate and close friend, Aljamain Sterling, the champ. So I lost to him. And then I feel like the Hunter Azur fight, I thought I could have got. I thought I deserved it, but that doesn't matter. I wasn't good enough to ensure that result. But even then, I think it was cut short. It was cut premature, and I think I showed that off in the Timur fight where, man, I'm high level. Timur was just outside of the top 15 before his contract wasn't renewed, and I beat him. So I'm just right outside the top 15, so I think we're on that path, and all I have to do is make sure I anchor in the goal, which is being the best bantamweight in the world, and that's how I've been living my life ever since I've been in the UFC.
It's funny that you just said that because quite a few years ago, and I won't say what referee, and he was telling me as we were talking about a fight, he goes, I know this particular fighter can take damage. I know that he will fight through. So how important is it for referees, you know, to know that about Brad Katona or any other fighter, to maybe let it go a little bit longer than they would because they know that that person can handle it?
You know, I think so. It's such a balance. I can attack referees all day.
Sure.
I think the referees do a great job 90% of the time, 95% of the time. It's a very difficult job. I think, at least personally, judging, I say that in coming off of a close victory over Timur, but I really think judging is where we need to figure out a way to make everybody responsible and have feedback and improve that process, because this is people's lives at stake here. You know, for me, I think I lost a poor decision, and that was my UFC career cut short.
Right.
That was it. Go build for the past 4 years to get to this point, you know? So I can say, well, the judges or anything, at the end of the day, it all falls on us, the fighters, and not to put ourselves in that position. And I'm not talking about going to decision, being, you know, never leave it in the hand of judges. Absolutely, you should be able to leave it in the hand of the judges. But, you know, it's up to us to put ourselves in the position to win. So I'm not looking for the referee to know I'm tough and not stop a fight. If I'm in that position, you know, I have to escape and fight out of it and concentrate on what I can control.
As a licensed judge here in the state of Florida, I agree with everything that you said, you know, and I do think, and I don't know how to do it, but I do need, I do believe that there needs to be some things, more consistency. Like you said, you know, where we know, I would like for judges to be interviewed, and some judges are friends of mine, mm-hmm. on how.
Yes.
How did you make this decision? Why did you make this decision? To educate us all. You know, a lot of us that sit back and, you know, even as a judge, like, what did he see that I didn't see? And I don't know why commissions won't allow that, but who knows, maybe down the road they will.
I'm hoping that down the line they will. It's not to attack judges. I think they have a very difficult job. I've watched the UFC every Sunday here in Ireland. Like, every morning I watch it. And sometimes I'm looking at my girlfriend, who's also a fighter, and we're like, whew, I don't know who won that. We were just actually watching it as fans, not trying to score it. I think it's a very difficult job, but I think there should be some type of responsibility that's upheld. You know, there's been pictures of judges texting on the phones during fights. This is people's lives at stake here. And I just wish there would be some ownership around that and some responsibility. And there needs to be something, even an interview when it's a poor decision. And what I mean by poor decision isn't even getting the result wrong. It's getting even one round completely different than the other judges, you know?
Right.
I don't know how we can do that, but I think certainly interviewing them or having them have to defend, explain to me how you saw this.
Right.
And then we can hopefully correct course and further educate me.
And to be honest, one step further, and I want to get off judges. I don't want to get you in trouble, you know, anything like that. But, you know, I sit in the radio row and I watch, as a judge, I watch other media people. They're typing, you know, they're Facebook and their social media. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But then at the end of the round, they put on social media who they thought won. Yet they didn't watch all 5 minutes of the fight. How can you say who you thought won? That drives me crazier than what the judges are doing.
Absolutely. I wish there was I wish there was a perfect solution, but I think having some accountability is the first step. And, you know, maybe suspensions if this person's just completely off. I believe they do it in boxing, and I think in MMA, we can talk about better scoring systems, but at first, without accountability, it doesn't matter what system you use. It can always be better, and I think accountability is the first step. That's what I'd like to see. Just like I'm accountable for my performance and my actions in the cage.
Okay. Again, we're going to get off it. We're only going to keep you in a minute or two. I know Matt has a question. I'm going to say this. Don't respond, and then I'm going to go over to Matt. I know for a fact some judges that have judged fights in the UFC have gotten death threats. That's taking everything way, way too far. Go, Matt. Don't let Brad talk.
So, Brad, so you mentioned something there that made me think. Well, you said watching the UFC on Sunday because you're in Ireland. So I know we're in the East Coast. We're in Florida. Fights that happened in Vegas. So it's hard to stay awake until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning for, like, the main event. So what's the norm when you watch a live UFC fight? What time is that on in Ireland?
Oh, if I wanted to watch it live, now I'm getting up at 3 a.m. or something to watch it. So I haven't done that since the Conor Habib fight, and I don't know if I'll ever do it again. I'm not built for that. I can't wake up that early or can't stay up that late. Maybe I'm turning into an old man, but, you know, every Sunday, you know, we'll certainly turn on Fight Pass and watch the fights. I just talk about being an old man. Maybe it's just me being a child at heart. I want my Sunday morning cartoons. Pretty much the UFC fights. I make the coffee, have a breakfast, watch the fights. Oh, it's wonderful. I believe everyone in Australia can usually do that, but it's live, you know, so lucky for them. I just stay off my phone, watch the fights, take 2 hours, do that, and go on with my day. But I don't get to watch them live that often unless it's a UFC London or an event over here.
Sure. So Brad, so you mentioned earlier about your 5-year goal to be the number one fighter in your weight class on the planet. I think everybody needs to have goals established. So I'm going to use this opportunity to ask Randy Harris a question. Randy, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Inspired from Brad Katona.
Hopefully just alive.
You can do better than that.
Well, I'll think about it. But since you said you're the old guy, which trust me, you're not, as the old guy here, that's why I go to so many fights in Vegas, so that I can stay awake till the main event. Because when we're on the East Coast, it's like 1 o'clock and I wake up and the fight's over. I mean, how did I miss it? Brad, thank you very, very much for your time. We've enjoyed having you on both times.
Awesome.
We're going to get you on again before the finale, whenever they announce that. Again, thank you for everything, and we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Take care. That is Brad Katona getting ready to make history.
Great, great dude, man.
Not back to back, but two, you know, have two belts. I was going to ask, and I know we have to hit this break, you know, will they make it a different trophy? Do you want the same trophy twice sitting up on the mantle, or do you want it different? We'll discuss that and a whole lot more when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tony Hawk, and you're talking sports with Randy.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia. From metal signs and handbags to men's wallets, it's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
If you've never been to Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches before, there really is no comparison. Ike's is about love first, then sandwiches, which is why they take extra special care to make sure there are great options for every kind of eater. No other restaurant in the world has more kick-ass options and endless combinations for meat lover, vegetarian, vegan, halal, and gluten-free. Dutch clutch bread paired with Ike's exclusive dirty sauce, a creamy garlic aioli toasted right into the bread, is a transcendent experience that will electrify your taste buds. Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches has been voted the best sandwiches in the world by Ike's mom. Place your order for irresistible and unforgettable sandwiches for pickup or delivery at ikesandwich.com or through the Ike's Lovin' Sandwich app.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Michael Duncan. I'm coming to you live from Miami, Florida. And you guys know I'm a big UFC fan, and you're talking sports right here with Randy Harris, my man.
Who is that guy?
Who's that guy?
You need to hear it again?
Yeah, what's the
name? All right, let's play it again. If you can play that liner again.
Studio.
How you doing? This is Michael Duncan. I'm coming to you live from Miami, Florida. And you guys know I'm a big UFC fan, and you're talking sports right here with Randy Harris, my man.
Michael Duncan?
Green Mile? Michael Clark Duncan? Married to Amorosa?
Never saw it.
Well, I never saw the movie either, but you know who he is. I guarantee you know.
I mean, if I saw his face, I would recognize him.
Okay. What would you do if you won the $1.1 billion? Well, first you have to play, which...
Yeah. Yeah, you got to pay to play. What would I do first, or what would I do with the money?
Whatever.
I mean, first I would run away. Get as far away from people that know me as possible. And I would then call a trust lawyer. And then I would set all the money up in a trust. And then, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Duncan.
Yeah. I would get away from as many people as I could. I would set it up from afar. And then I would come back and claim the prize. But everything would be set up. All the infrastructure would be set up. Because you couldn't go out in public again. You would be mobbed. Anything, your whole life changes. Everything that you know is no longer the same. The relationships in every area of your life are now different.
Well, if I won, thanks for asking, I would send a birthday present to somebody first.
A birthday present?
Yeah, to a particular person.
To who?
You know who, but we won't say the person's name. I would send a really nice birthday gift.
To a physician?
I'm just saying, that's what I would do. And then I think I would... have somebody else go win to get the money.
Can't.
What do you mean you can't?
You can't.
Sure you can.
No, you have to collect it, right?
No, you don't.
You can't send somebody. You can cover your face, I think.
What I'm saying is I would give the winning ticket.
Somebody else to cash it.
Let them and then compensate them.
Yeah, what if they take it all?
It would be somebody that...
Who would you trust that much with your life? You're talking about $1 billion.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I would trust any quote-unquote friends. I mean, I would... brother wouldn't do it.
Family?
My brother wouldn't do it.
Well, he already has that much money.
I don't know about that much, but...
Look, I don't need your $1.1 billion.
Yeah.
Got my own.
No, he doesn't have that much, but yeah. Yeah, but yeah, my brothers wouldn't do it. My sister, maybe. Maybe if you know, for enough, she can handle all the BS that would come with it, and I would just get enough to...
But the amount of pressure that it would put on you.
What? What pressure?
Everything. Seriously. Everything changes.
Nothing changes.
Everything changes.
I don't see, if I was to win.
You would get more mail in your house mailbox of dying wishes, kids, this.
I don't read my mail now.
Aunt, like cousins and family that you never knew you had.
That's not true.
People that you did
wrong.
No,
hold on. Well, I could care less.
Brad Katona would sue you for calling him a diva in segment one.
First of all, Brad Katona, Brad Katona called him a diva.
Well,
Jason Knight has called every fighter every week has called him a diva.
Brad Katona would sue you for calling him a diva. Yeah, like you'd be like the Conor McGregor of MMA. You would be a little, like everything you did would be somebody said you assaulted them, you get on an airplane and you yelled at somebody and then you hurt their feelings. They would sue you. The lady at Stride Right when she had her COVID mask down around her chin and you made fun of her publicly, she has depression now. She's suing you for $100 million. I mean, every person in your history that you've ever had a friction with would come out of the woodworks and sue you. Anyone at Bucks camp, anyone at a game that had their cell phones on and not watching the fights, any referee that you talk trash about, you would have no money left in a week.
I disagree. But unfortunately for you, it's break time. Let's hit this real quick break, and then we'll talk more about last night's episode with next week's contestant to get into the finals, Jason Knight.
I'd sue you for firing me three times on air.
You're going to be fired now.
That's four times.
To want me.
Hello, this is Robin Zander. I want you to listen to Randy Harris. That's right, he's my friend.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bob Sanders, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back to you live from Tournament de Pizza as the shenanigans continues. Brad Katona was on last segment. This segment is our weekly correspondent. Going to talk about only up through last night, because I believe he gets into his fight next week. And let's welcome Jason Knight. Jason, how are you?
Doing good, man. How's it going today?
Everything's going here great. We appreciate your time as always. Give us your thoughts, your take on last night's episode. Anything surprise you? Anything happened that you were not aware of?
I was pretty much aware of everything. I didn't get to watch the fight until last night. I recall Teamer coming in the back and thinking that he won that fight. And then finally getting to watch it myself, man, I don't really understand the decision. I feel like Teamer was robbed. I had it 3-0 for Teamer. You know, possibly Brad squeaked one out, but there's no way that Brad should have got that victory.
Does that concern you? Did that concern you? And again, we're only talking up through what we saw last night, but knowing that your fight is coming up soon, did that concern you when any of that happened? Were you aware of that before you went out? Or I'm asking when you went out.
Teamer came in the back and saying that he thought he won, but you know, I didn't get to see the fight. A lot of the times when it's a close fight like that, you think in your head that you got robbed, whether you got robbed or not. And, you know, I wasn't able to watch it, so I wasn't able to say for sure my thoughts on the situation. So I wasn't able to really worry about it. And, you know, at that time, I had a way bigger task, you know, coming up in a few minutes sure. with Kurt Hollibaugh. So I couldn't really stress too much about all of that. But can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, now going back and actually being able to watch that fight, man, I feel bad for Teamer because, you know, that's a crappy call from the judges. And, you know, at the end of the day, he shouldn't have let it go that far. He should have, you know, somehow finished Brad, so that's kind of on him as well because we know that the judges make mistakes, but I think they definitely got this one wrong.
Give me your opinion, and I'm going to tell you just like I told Brad in a minute ago. You know, we talked about the switching teams and, you know, who was, who wasn't. You know, obviously everybody knows how vocal you were, and I supported that and support that, as well as I supported what Brad did. I'm curious what your thoughts are when Brad did go over the other side and change colors and name.
Oh, man, I don't blame Brad one bit. You know, if my coaches from home were on that other team, and I wound up getting picked for the opposing team, I would have been pissed from, you know, from the start. I would have wanted to switch teams right away, just the same as Brad. And, you know, no one can blame him for that. His head coach was just, you know, right across the room, and it wasn't that hard to go over there and be on that team. So, you know, nobody can blame Brad for that. I didn't have any kind of animosity or anything like that towards Brad. I was actually more or less happy for the guy, you know, that he finally got to go and be with his coach, and kind of happy for our team as well, because that was kind of the only downfall of our team was having Brad there, you know, not even really half-heartedly. He never wanted to be part of the team. He was there for Brad and only Brad, and I get that. You know, that's what we all signed up for, was to be there for ourselves and only for ourselves. But it grew into something bigger than that. You know, we grew into a team, we grew into a family, and Brad just never was part of that family.
You know, I've tried to be vocal to the fans, and I said this to Brad after he won, you know, his first fight. If anybody should be upset, it should be Brad, in the fact that his coaches didn't pick the team that, you know, their fighter was on. So Brad going over there made sense. I was more kind of, how does Connor not pick, you know, the veterans in that case because it's one of their guys? So I'm with you, and I don't understand why fans are all upset. They can be upset about other things that we've seen on the episode. But the fact that he went back to his coaches just made all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I think honestly the reason that they picked the 155 up-and-comers was because Lee had never been in that type of situation before. He had never been on the big show, and you know he needed more guidance, more help in that type of situation than Brad did. This was, you know, all so familiar to Brad, so it wasn't. And I guess from a coaching standpoint, it wasn't that big of a deal for Brad to be on the other team. It was a lot bigger deal to be able to get Lee on their team, you know?
Makes sense. Totally makes sense. Normally I start with, and I blasted right past it. Where are we, you know, up through last night's episode, where are we in filming? How long have you been in the house? What day are we in?
We are on the very last day. The semifinal fights are happening. They all happen the same night. Brad and Teamer just fought, and I'm in the back warming up, getting ready to go out and fight against Kurt Hollibaugh next. And, you know, after that, they kick our asses out.
So were you on a plane that night, or were you still in Vegas for a little while?
I was on a plane at 7 o'clock the next morning.
That's awesome. Like I would do and like I would expect from you. Jason, as always, sir, thank you very much for your time. I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to change it to Thursday next week. I hope that's okay. I'll text you later and work out the details as a media day with the UFC is changed. So we're going to incorporate all that next week if you're good with it. Throw out again, like we try to do, you know, thank the company that you work for that's allowing you the time to get away and get on the phone.
Yes, next Thursday would be great for me. That'll be perfectly fine. And I'm working for International Welding and Fabrication. These guys have been absolutely great to me. My boss has no problem whatsoever with me getting on my weekly interview, as they understand this is my job. And the phone call, the weekly correspondence, that is part of my career, and they completely understand that.
Awesome. Jason, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. You have a good one. Thank you.
You as well. Jason Knight, our weekly correspondent. Big week for him next week. Two first three. Looking forward to it. Hoping, you know, and when I say I don't know, this will prove to you that I don't know. My plane is not booked yet.
Okay.
If I knew,
you would already have a book.
I would already have
a book. Yeah, because you plan stuff way in advance.
I screwed up one of those plans.
Did you really?
Oh, I screwed it up bad.
What'd you do?
I need to stop. I called my wife. I said, when I ever think that I'm going to outwork the system, hit me upside the head with an aluminum baseball bat. Not a wood.
Yeah. And go college style.
So a lot of airlines do these promotions. Okay. And then the promotion goes like, if you book a flight within the next X amount of days,
right,
you then qualify for, whether it's a BOGO, or one airline, if you do a flight, and I've done it twice where I've literally flown to Miami, get off the plane and fly home.
Because
you get like a BOGO.
Or the promotion to use for another flight.
Right.
Or for another event.
Right. So, you know, it's worth it to me to do a $109 round trip flight to Miami for then when we go to Vegas where the flight's $450.
Right.
You know, you incorporate that 100 in. Now it's round trip. It's saving money. So I get one yesterday. And I always check because there's one particular airline. No, you know what? No, I'm not going to say it. There's some.
don't get sued.
Yeah.
$1 billion is dwindling away.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Long story short, the promotion came through my email. And I looked. I'm like, well, I'm going on a plane Friday. You know, it's Canton this weekend, as well as there's a family function in Atlanta. And I look and I see that the flight is the same cost as it was when I bought it.
Okay.
And I checked it. So I canceled the flight. And then I went to rebuy the same flight that was the same price. It was $480 more.
Oof. Wow.
If I now know what having a heart attack feels like, because I wasn't good.
Wow.
And I need to be a nicer human being.
Yes.
Because when I called the airline and the lady said, sure, let me see what I can do. And she reinstated the canceled flight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. See,
I almost had to drive to Atlanta because I wasn't going to pay $700 to fly up for 40 hours or some such thing. So yeah, that would have been a drastic, drastic mistake. Scheduled hour number two. We should be. Oh, you know, hey, did I? Oh, I really didn't announce it that we're moving next week's show. Even though I just said it to Jason Knight. So for some reason, the UFC media day next week is Thursday.
Yeah,
not Wednesday. It's been Wednesday every day, as far as I can remember.
Sure.
I don't know when it wasn't a Wednesday, so they moved it to Thursday. And the powers that be and Lola and Ed are allowing us to move. So next week's show will be moved to 12 to 3.
Okay.
And then Jimmy and I will be in the Apex. Steve will be there doing what he does. I don't know where you're going to be running around here.
Hopefully, I'll probably be in Atlanta.
Yeah, you may be fired by then.
So. I should be in Atlanta.
Yeah, okay.
If they're training the actor from a movie.
Yeah, what's his name?
Quentin Aaron.
Oh, I figured for sure you wouldn't know.
Played Michael Orr.
Yep.
I didn't know him either. I mean, the Michael Duggan thing, same thing. They're both guys I recognize, but I would never know what movie they're in
right, or
what they played. I just know their face. So
well, and Quentin hangs out here. He lives in Tampa. He's at the Harley store all the time.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I went once to go see a buddy of mine, Mark Gunther, who works there, And I went to see him, and he was there. And I called Sean. I'm like, hurry up and get down here. And I think he thought, like, Elvis Presley was there.
Okay.
So, literally, he, like, didn't even get dressed. He went there naked. And he's like, oh, that's cool. Oh, but I thought it was, you know.
Too much information.
Elvis.
It's a PG show.
Well.
Let's not get crazy. Let's get canceled.
If it's PG, you wouldn't be on it.
That's true.
Oh, and I did come up with who I would have as my my person.
Your person.
For the $1.1 billion.
Okay.
You know, who I would trust.
Okay.
And I know he could handle it. And I know that he would be able to take care of business. He would also take a crap in your car if need be.
Oof, that's weird.
And, well, he's told the story on the program, and he will be on hour three. And that's Marcus Davis.
Okay, so Marcus Davis. But if he took your ticket and never gave you the money, what are you going to do against Marcus Davis?
Oh, nothing.
The Irish hand grenade.
Yes, he is. And his book is coming out.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. So, all right, let's hit a break. When we come back, maybe Caleb Benenott. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Matt Liner, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.